Pope Leo XIV in Spain, the Catholic Church's many paradoxes, summary. Pope Leo's June 2026 visit to Spain illustrates the fundamental duality of his pontificate, a leader capable of articulating clear, morally forceful positions on global issues, while simultaneously constrained by structural limitations, particularly the ongoing clergy sexual abuse crisis and the internal coalition building required to sustain his leadership. This tension defines both the trip itself and the broader institutional dynamics of the modern Catholic Church. The visit featured historic and symbolically rich moments. Leo XIV became the first pope to address a joint session of the Spanish Parliament, confronting the state on issues affecting Spain, Europe, and the broader Spanish-speaking world. His itinerary balanced grand gestures, such as the dedication of the Jesus Christ Tower at Barcelona's Basilica of the Holy Family, with direct engagement on pressing realities, notably migration in the Canary Islands. There, his message was unequivocal: migrants must be treated not as a security concern but as a moral barometer of society. In this domain, the Pope demonstrated clarity and urgency, positioning the Church as a global moral voice. However, this clarity stood in stark contrast with the Church's handling of its own internal crisis. The visit exposed a persistent fracture. While the Church can criticize external injustice, it remains defensive and opaque when confronting clergy sexual abuse. This contradiction was embodied in a closed-door meeting between the Pope and six abuse survivors at the Apostolic Nunciature in Madrid. Though presented as a gesture of goodwill, the meeting was criticized as tightly controlled and lacking substance. The central issue is not the existence of such meetings, but how access to them is managed. Evidence suggests that participation may have depended on institutional approval, raising concerns about selection bias and the use of such encounters as symbolic rather than substantive engagement. For many survivors, meeting the Pope is not a meaningful outcome in itself, particularly given the enduring physical, psychological, and economic consequences of abuse. Their primary concern is not recognition but justice and support, especially reparations, which remain largely unaddressed. The piece situates this problem within a broader framework. The effectiveness of justice depends heavily on national legal systems. While some jurisdictions, such as parts of the United States, have achieved tangible progress through investigation and prosecution, others, particularly in Latin America, often fail to deliver justice. In these contexts, the Church's reluctance to go beyond apology and repentance further exacerbates the problem. Spain itself reflects this complexity. A recent agreement allowing the National Ombudsman to review historic abuse cases followed a failed internal Church investigation that severely underestimated the scale of abuse. Even during the Pope's visit, institutional filtering was evident. The survivors selected for the Madrid meeting were connected to Repara, Repair, a project of the Archdiocese of Madrid, raising questions about representation and independence. The issue extends beyond individual events to systemic patterns. Meetings with survivors are often absent from official Vatican records, such as the Boletino, creating inconsistencies between public narrative and institutional documentation. Similarly, coverage by Vatican News varies across languages, suggesting strategic communication tailored to different audiences. Together, these practices reveal an institutional tendency to manage rather than confront the crisis. The piece further examines global disparities in accountability. While some European countries have made progress, places like Peru highlight ongoing failures. Even where gestures of recognition occur, such as masses acknowledging victims connected to the Sotelicium scandal, it remains unclear whether these actions represent systemic change or localized efforts by individual leaders. This leads to the central analytical concept. The Church operates according to an implicit algorithm or governing logic. This system prioritizes institutional preservation, its reputation and internal cohesion, over the well-being of its members. The history of clergy abuse, and the response to it, can thus be understood as the history and the product of consistent decision-making rules rather than isolated failures. The piece concludes by linking this institutional behavior to Pope Leo's broader concerns about artificial intelligence. If the church wishes to warn the world about the dangers of biased, one-sided systems, it must first confront its own. A genuine reform would require replacing the church's current prime directive of self-preservation with a commitment to the dignity and justice of survivors, just as the Pope urged nations to prioritize the dignity of migrants.